Yes, I know my Redeemer lives. Let all creation testify. Let this life within me cry. I know my Redeemer lives. Oh, I know my Redeemer lives. Yes, I know my Redeemer lives. Oh, sing it.
Let his life.
Aren't you glad about it this morning? Praise the Lord. How many of you enjoyed church here last night? Amen. The word of the Lord. You know, we might have some cream puffs among us, but for the most part, we've all got a few rough edges that still needs to be took off. If you're a cream puff, God bless you. We aspire to be just like you. But how many of you need help? How many of you really need help? We want all these rough edges to be gone, don't we? Amen. Isn't it good to be a Christian? Amen. Why don't you shake somebody's hand and tell them this morning? My Redeemer lives. Mean it with all your heart. My Redeemer lives. Play a little bit more of it, guys. Play it again. my praise if you love him this morning. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. We'll let you be seated for just a few minutes while we look at our prayer requests. Brother Amos, if you feel like it this morning and would, if you'd pray over the request this morning. Certainly glad to have Brother Amos, Sister Lisa back in the service with us this morning. Passing of his mother, our hearts go out to that family, to Brother Amos, his family. Just may the Lord comfort their hearts during this time. Also, Brother Rocky Ward, his family, Sister Lou, what's Sharon's mother's name? Sister Daisy. Sister Daisy Rice. Certainly want to remember her. She was just, about 89 years old and just was so broken up at the service the other night. We just want to pray for all that family, that the Lord would certainly be mindful of them, just comfort their hearts. And, you know, you can say a lot of things and do a lot of things, but it takes the Lord to just fill that void. And so we just pray that God would help those folks today. Some prayer requests this morning. Sister Ruth Garland has some unspoken prayer requests she'd like for the church to pray about. The Lord knows all about the needs. Brother Amos would like to thank everyone for their prayers and their kindness concerning the passing of his sweet mother. So we just, we just pray for those folks. The Lord will be with them. Pray for a little boy from Scotland named Dakota. He's having very severe seizures. The Lord knows all about that need. Let's just commit that child into the Lord. Sister Becky Kennedy says to please remember a little boy that I know. His name is Levi Todd. He has recently been diagnosed with leukemia and is very sick. So we certainly want to pray for that child, that family this morning. The Lord would be mindful of them. Brother Joel Yance, sick this morning, home, needs healing in his body. Let's remember him as we pray. Brother Reese wants to thank the Lord for healing his back. He just gives that testimony, so we thank the Lord for that. We want to pray for Dale Potter. He was former principal of Happy Valley Elementary, suffered a stroke, bad shape, so let's remember him as we pray that the Lord would be mindful of him. Brother Johnny Little sends this in to please pray for Jim Beasley, who has severe dementia. Is really taking a toll on his wife, Mary Beasley. So let's remember that need today as we pray. This is from a brother, Terry, that was sent over to the library. I'm a streamer and faithfully attend the church every week. I need the congregation to pray for members of my family. God knows what's going on, and my patience is a struggle for me. So please help me by praying. So we just commit that unto the Lord this morning. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have needs you'd like for this group to pray about. We know we're serving a mighty God, don't we? We know He loves us because, you know why we know that? Because He said He did. And He sends His word. And He corrects us and He encourages us and He gives us hope that we're going to make it. In spite of our sorry selves, we are going to make it. Do you believe that this morning? Do you love Him with all your heart? Is He the best thing that ever got a hold of your life? Did He change you for the better? Yes. We was in bad shape till He got a hold of us and changed us, wasn't we? Let's all stand this morning. Brother Amos, God bless your heart, buddy, as you come to pray. We love our brother, don't we? Yes. Certainly appreciate Brother Amos' touch, buddy. We love you, buddy. God bless your heart, buddy. Appreciate you.
Also like you to remember in prayer couple of requests that was mentioned to me this morning. Paul and Amy of West Virginia, a young couple, their baby is not forming right in the womb. And then also Brother Brandon Green has a uncle, Steve Green, in Winchester, Virginia, who has cancer. He also needs salvation in his life. Let's continue to remember Brother Warren Arendt, amen, and others, Brother Eugene Kennedy, amen, and so many other needs among us. Amen. We know that this life is not certain. And we know that unless the coming of the Lord, we're all going to be someday go that way, as so many of our loved ones are going. And it behooves us. Every time we turn around, there's a sickness, there's this, there's that. But we've also got to look at the remedy. There is a remedy. Amen. There is a balm in Gilead. Praise the Lord. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father God, as we come before you this morning, our hearts are grateful, our hearts are thankful. Lord Jesus, for everything you've done, everything you've done. Lord, we hear this through social media, we hear this through the news, we hear this about that one, and so much negativity. Lord, although some of these things are noteworthy requests for prayer, we pass along these things that, Lord, to the ear, it would almost seem like there's so many giants in the land. There's so many. It's wall to wall. It's just every time we turn around, there's something going on. God, if it was just us on a mental, intellectual experience, Lord, we'd be so down at the bottom, laying on our backs. But dear God, we've got more than that. We've got your faith. We've got your faith revelation. God, that somehow it takes us through the waterways that are so threatening with huge waves and so much coming against us. But Lord, we've been taught by your word, and the understanding of your word is that despite all the odds, despite all the stuff that's out there, the negativism and bodies and human spirits that are being wrecked all the time, and God, death all around us, loved ones leaving us, and 80 and then some, Lord, and you give that, Lord, out of your grace, Lord, and Lord God, it just would almost seem unsurmountable, Lord. It just almost no way around it, but Lord, yet we can walk around, dear Jesus. And this flesh gets attacked, our spirits get attacked, but yet, Lord Jesus, we can have a song in our heart. We can have a joy in our heart because, Lord, our faith revelation tells us that your promise is going to be performed no matter how old Abraham got, no matter how old Sarah got. It made no difference. The promise is still there. And we know that the promise is still here. Lord, for us this morning, dear God, I don't care how many people take cancer. It doesn't matter where the cancer's at, in their blood or in their bones or wherever in their head, dear God, you're still God. You're still God, Lord Jesus. Our faith is not brought low because of these things. It's only getting stronger, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for so many answered prayer, Lord, that prayers here and prayers there, Lord, for different requests, Lord Jesus, in different places. I've seen your hand at work, Lord. A sister here this morning, Lord, prayed with me about my eyeglasses that I mislaid. I didn't know. I thought maybe they were lost for good. But dear Lord, my little niece reached down in that sofa, and there they were, dear God. For a year they were gone. And Lord, I'd just about forgotten about them, Lord Jesus. But God, you're ever mindful, Lord Jesus. And I thank you for that, Lord, in so many things, in so many ways. God, we ask that you take charge of these requests, Lord. There's so many that was mentioned, dear God. And Lord, I think of our brother Rocky Ward and his family, Lord, and the mother and sister Daisy Rice, dear God. We just pray, Lord. Lord, these times are tough, dear God. And sometimes it seems like an untimely thing, Lord. We just cannot understand it, Lord. But as our little sister here, I can't remember the song that she sings, Lord. Dear God, at some times it seems like there's no answer there. I will trust in you. No matter what happens, I trust in you, Lord. No matter what's going or which way it's going, whether it's going south, everything is just going the opposite way that we think it ought to. It's still going your way. And we can tell the devil he's a liar this morning. We give you thanks and praise because we believe these requests that have been read for the many sick, afflicted, and troubled in spirit, Lord. We believe that there will be more testimonies, Lord. And those that you've taken home, that you saw fit to do it, they're no longer harassed by a body that gave them so much trouble. But dear God, many of them are in theophanies, and we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Give the Lord a hand this morning again, if you will. Praise the Lord. Amen. Brother Donnie said so many wonderful things last night. We just rejoice in the word. But you know, he's talking about Sister Sharon. Sister Sharon Ward's cancer is dead, but she is alive. Oh, isn't that a promise that we have to look forward to? Whatever takes us out of here, it's gone. We're still alive. Amen. We're eternal. Aren't you glad about it? Give him one more hand clap of praise this morning. This road ahead is rough and rocky. Well, it was made by Christ that day at Calvary while he suffered all alone. This road may lead over many high mountains and valleys dark and low. I'll safely reach my goal. Up ahead, there's joy and gladness and rest for my weary soul. Ahead, there's peace and contentment. Everybody will be happy and whole. I know I'll be at home. Tears will never be shed. Though so often this road rough and rocky, still I know what lies ahead. While on this road I get so weary and often my feet will stray, but a gentle hand still leads me onward. Helps me find my way as I climb each hill and cross each valley by his hand. I'm being led. No, I won't look back. I'm gonna keep right on walking, cause I know what lies ahead. Rest for my weary soul.
Up ahead,
there's peace and contentment. Everybody will be happy and whole.
I know
I'll be at home with Jesus. Tears will never be shed.
Though so often this road
rough and rocky, still I know. I get so weary and often my feet have strayed, but a gentle hand still leads me onward. He helps me find my way as I climb each hill and across each valley by his hand. I'm being led, but I won't. I know what lies ahead.
Oh, ahead.
Ahead, there's joy and gladness and rest for my weary soul.
Up ahead.
Ahead, there's peace and contentment. Everybody will be happy and whole. Still I know what lies ahead. Though so often this road gets rough and rocky, still I know what lies ahead. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord.
Amen. Ushers, come this morning. Let's receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here in this service with us today, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. Those that would be streaming the service,
We pray God would bless those folks, and may they enjoy this service as much as we're going to get to enjoy it this morning. Let's sing that little chorus. We've been singing it quite a bit lately, but I just like it. I believe it ministers to your hearts as well as mine. We're going to make it. I'm going to make it. You believe that with all your heart? With a big, somebody with a big amen, say, I believe it with all my heart. I believe it with all of my heart. I'm going to make it. Give Him one more hand clap of praise if you love Him. Hallelujah. Yes, I'm going to make it. He's already said I would. I'll keep on trusting. He's working everything for my good. He walks beside me.
Yes,
and heaven is in my view. Oh, I'm gonna make it through.
I want you to sing with everything you got. Oh, yes.
I'm gonna make it.
Glory.
He's already said. Couple of songs this morning, Brother Harvey and Sister Shirley. They have a song. If they'll come onto the platform, Sister Lindsay, ever how you have that arranged this morning. If you'll come onto the platform, you can be seated this morning. Let's sing a little bit more of that chorus as they get ready to sing for you today. We're going to make it. Yes, I'm going to make it. He's already saved. Say praise the Lord. Sister Lisa Davis had a request this morning. We didn't get a note on it, but one of her customers up here in Elizabethton needs help from the Lord in some way, and don't have a name, but the Lord knows that name. Let's remember that prayer request as we pray today. Give these singers a nice hand as they get ready to sing this morning. Go ahead.
Amen. I'm glad to know that I'm going to make it. Amen. I'm so glad this morning to be a part of God's great army. Amen. And that's the words of this old song. I hope it's a blessing to someone this morning. Well, I've been a soldier in God's mighty army since many long years ago. And I've been scarred and wounded in battle, and many times I've been brought low. But by the signs of the times, I just realized I've only one more mile to go. Well, is that the lights of heaven up above? I feel like running my last mile home. Oh, yes, I feel like running my last mile home. I see a great band of angels around God's throne. Oh, what a great celebration while ages roll on. I feel like running my last mile home. Well, Jesus said when he reached down and saved me, I'll go with you all the way. So I stepped out on his precious promise, and he's been with me night and day. I know it's been many years, but I still feel his spirit moving in my soul. And it gives me a taste of what lies ahead. I feel like running my last mile home. Oh, yes, I feel like running my last mile home. I see a great band of angels around God's throne. Oh, what a great celebration while ages roll on. I feel like running my last mile home. Oh, yes, I feel like running my last mile home. I see a great band of angels around God's throne. Oh, what a great celebration while ages roll on. I feel like running my last mile home. I feel like running my last mile home.
There's so much we have lost as we look down the road where all the prodigals have walked. And one by one the enemy has whispered lies and led them off as slaves. But we know that you are God, yours is the victory. We know there is more to come that we may not yet see. So with the faith you've given us, we'll step into the valley unafraid. Yeah. As we call God of unrelenting love, rescue every daughter, bring us back the wayward son, and by your Spirit breathe upon them, show the world that you alone can save.
Ain't you glad you was one of them dry bones that come alive?
Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. Oh, you're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Light of the world, you stepped out into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. So here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. Oh, you're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether
King of all days,
King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above.
Yes, Lord,
oh, humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became
of all days. Hallelujah.
Here I am to worship.
Oh, yes, Lord God.
Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. How we thank you today, Father. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our feelings. Even our emotions, even our depth, our understanding, our knowledge, our faith. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth? And as we looked at the meaning of the word last night, that it is not pisteo or one of the other Greek words that would mean that you actually believe in the sense of human intellectual faith, but you trust, you commit your whole being to Him. That's real believing. That's real believing. Amen. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Let's bow our heads together for prayer, can we? Lord Jesus, we thank you today for your awesome presence that we sense it's among us. We are so grateful. We do not take it for granted, Lord. We know that there was a time as Gentiles we could never even meet this way. The court that was left without the Gentiles, for the Gentiles in the temple, saw no blood, saw no atonement, saw no sacrificial Passover, no Eucharist. There was nothing there. But we were considered as dogs. Even today, the Jews, which look at those Gentiles during the Holocaust, which helps them in Holland and Denmark and Belgium and so on. They call them righteous and say that they will be found in the book because they treated the Jews good. Even the Jews cannot see today that we have taken the role as the Queen of Heaven. We are so thankful today, Lord Jesus. We thank you. We know it's not because of anything that we are, but simply your grace. We ask that you would help us today, Father, as we said in this service, may we be able to receive the infallible truth of God's Word. We know that can only come from you. Grant it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Let's read again, if you would, today in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 13. For those of you that wasn't with us last night, we were speaking on an overcomer in the gallery, and we'd like to look at that again today by the help of the Lord. James depicts temptation and lust in such a beautiful way, even unlike Paul in the way that he defines it, which is quite out of the ordinary, because generally a prophet has insight that no other aspect of the ministry does. James was not a prophet, but he was a pastor. James, a local elder in the church in Jerusalem, which even struggled in the initial years of seeing the Gentiles come in. But somehow when the grace of God opened up to James, he was enlightened by the presence of God to be able to write certain things that Paul never wrote, that Peter never wrote. And this is one of them, that James had an insight into lust, into the desire of the flesh, and into temptation, and how the temptation actually comes. James says, chapter 1, verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted that I am tempted of God. Truly, anybody that understands anything about the principles of God, but know that. But yet, it can be a little bit elusive in the sense that the Old Testament writers said that God tempted Abraham. But we know the words are not quite the same. In the Old Testament, it was not so much tempted with enticement or wrong, but it was that God tried him. But the writer chose to use the word tempted. But James says, let no man say when he is tempted that I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil. There again, we understand that the merging together of the heavenly dimension and the earthly dimension, the body of the Lord Jesus, that it was Jesus Christ as a man that was tempted, not God the eternal spirit, but the man Christ Jesus. And he says, God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man, which would be contrary to his own word to do such. It would make no sense at all. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Now, you know, this might have been a little bit peculiar as the New Testament believers, which had had a new birth and the power of God had transformed them, and they're hearing this, and no doubt we'll see it in Galatians chapter 5 that some of the Galatian believers must have struggled somewhat as they found themselves being recipients of the Holy Ghost, and they were truly born again. And no doubt it was an overwhelming thing for them, as it was here as James was addressing the church, which he spent most of his time in preaching in the church in Jerusalem. And there was questions that was being raised up among them, that if I'm born again and if I've truly been converted, why is it that I'm feeling the pull of the temptation of the world? How is it that I can do that as a Holy Ghost filled believer? Many still struggle with the same thing today, trying to understand it. Part of it, of course, comes from preachers who don't understand the new birth themselves, and basically preach when you get born again, your flesh gets the Holy Ghost. The prophet of God nor the Bible teaches any such thing. But we'll find the exact opposite, that it, as it was with Ishmael and Isaac, as it was with Jacob and Esau, that there was a struggle in the womb. So is it you, is a very perfect depiction of you as a believer, that Jacob and Esau are struggling within the womb of your humanity. And there is one inside of you which is chosen of God, who has already been given the birthright, and the other one is one which is not chosen of God, yet will be blessed by God. 12 patriarchs will come out of him. He will inherit Mount Seir, so on and so on. But he will never be the elect of God. You are the womb, Rebecca, by which these two struggle, and you deal with it every day. How many can say amen to that? It does not mean that you are by any means evil. It does not mean by any means that you're going to hell because of that. But it is the struggle that God left in us. And of course, sinners don't feel this in the first place, because soul, spirit, and body, they are absolutely acclimated towards the things of the world. They love the world. Everything about them loves the world. The strife starts within us once we are truly born again, which doesn't make any sense to a lot of folks, because they say, well, if we're born again, why would the struggle begin? Anybody within the right mind should know that's why it does begin, because you are converted. Before you're converted, all of you is sold out to the devil totally and completely, and there is no struggle going on. So no doubt it began to raise up. Paul deals with it in Romans 7, Romans 8, Galatians 5, 15, 16, 1 Peter 2, many different places in the New Testament, the writers feel inspired by God to set it forth not only to the people living at that time, but to us as well. Myself, I'm glad they did. Now watch, James says, every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Now, as he used this word last night, let me explain it again today, that James uses what is identified as a double metaphor. This is the construction of a sentence in the Greek language, words that were used, that would be able to use two different meanings, but it would be approached from the same word. So it could be a word like we would use the word board. Well, it depends on how the speaker would say, what board are we talking about? A deacon board, a trustee board, an oak board, or are you bored? What does that mean exactly? So it can have a double metaphor in the way that it is used. Now, James uses it in this way, and he says, when man is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And one of the words that he incorporates into this, as if a fish is being drawn out of the water and he was caught by a hook. Now the hook itself was hid by a worm or a piece of bait that was on the hook, and then whenever the fisherman casts it out, he hides the enticement, or he wants to hide the danger, and he covers it over with an enticement.
statement that would appear very appealing to the one who's wanting to be called. And we know truly that's the way that sin is. But if a Holy Ghost filled saint of God was truly born again in their soul, in their spirit, and in their body, there would be absolutely nothing out here in the world that would ever bother them at all, because their eyes no longer can be tempted, their ears can no longer be tempted to hear things that's not true, their reason can no longer reason anything except truth and righteousness. But the fact of it is, one third of you got saved and the other two thirds of you ain't nothing but a sorry rascal. And they're going to fight you and hinder you every day of your life. And the quicker you realize that, the quicker you're going to learn how to defeat yourself. But the one third of you is stronger than the two thirds that ain't saved. Praise God. Oh, thank the Lord. Now, the second metaphor of this is that James likens this, and the word that he uses was also a word that was likened to the strange woman, or as it was identified as a stranger or an alien that would use herself in the form of temptation. Now, most people in identifying lust, they would identify lust. What would come to most people's minds almost first and foremost would be sexual lust and sexual impurity. And that truly is part of it. But my friends, that is not all of it at all. There are many people that have a great ability to overcome sexual lust and sexual temptation, and yet they fall to many other lusts that are around them. The lust for power, the lust for praise, the lust for money, the lust for all kinds of other things. But Satan, in my view, has done this so that we will not really be enlightened to everything that is involved in lust. Now, Satan had a great lust, and he's actually the author of lust in the beginning. But Satan did not lust in heaven for a beautiful woman. He did not lust in heaven for some type of sexual impurity. As a matter of fact, he never has lusted for some type of sexual impurity, because he is an angel, which has no effect whatsoever in the sexual impulses we do as humans. But yet he lusted for a position and for power. Now, what would cause an individual to lust anyway? What does the word lust mean? It is a craving or a desire or a long for something that is forbidden. Now, what makes lust very difficult to define is, as we looked at it last night, the children of Israel, they lusted, but what did they want? They wanted quail. Now, what's wrong with wanting a little bit of meat with the bread that you're eating from heaven? There was nothing wrong with them wanting meat. It's the way they wanted it, and they wanted out of the divine providence of God and the timing of God to give it to them. Then it moved over beyond a natural desire for it, and it moved into the realm of exceeding lust. So Satan takes many times a natural desire that we have as human beings for fellowship, for friendship, for many other things, and he will begin to magnify those things and miss the time of God or miss the will of God for our lives, and then it becomes lust. Now, it moves beyond ordinary desire, human desire, and it moves in the sense, let me show you, in the sense of fellowship. Every one of us long for fellowship. We want friendship. Well, if you cannot find friends in the church, and Satan, well, I've tried this and I've tried that one, and nobody can be a friend to me. I guarantee you one thing, the devil will make sure you find somebody at school or college or somebody that you work with, and they will seem to be so compatible to you, and it will seem as if though it's that perfect friend that you have been longing for your entire life. That's a trap of the devil, and if you're not careful, you'll fall right into it. Now, what is it? He's using a desire for friendship, and then when you step over the boundary of the word and you say, no, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do it, let that word be your guide. But if you don't, you'll step over the top of it. Then it becomes lust, because now you're magnifying your desire for a friend over the traits and characteristics that friend should have as a believer. Are you all hearing me this morning? Now, once it moves beyond the natural desire and the thing that God wants it to be, then it moves into the realm to where you're on your own, basically, because the word can no longer help you because you put your desire first. When you magnify your desire over the perimeter of the word of God, now it enters into lust. For a man to marry a woman, to know that woman sexually in a carnal way, nothing wrong with that at all. The marriage is honorable, the bed is undefiled. But whenever a man then would move beyond that wife and he would go to feeding that sexual desire by pictures of other women, whether on his phone or a magazine or on his computer. Now, I'm going to preach this morning. You folks with me, or what you going to do? then what? That desire becomes perverted and it becomes lust, and that man is feeding that lust. You know, God wants us as his people to be able to bring our body under control. Nobody with the Holy Ghost is going to be dominated by their spirit or by their flesh. They're going to be led of the Spirit of God. Praise the Lord. Now, it is our appetites, our natural appetites, that Satan will punch at us all of our life, whether it is for friendship or whatever more. And Satan knows that as human beings, that God left that part of us unconverted. Now, this is the way that James is going to address this. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. Notice how James actually identifies that every one of us, whenever we are tempted, that he identifies the lust that Satan used. Is our own lust. Satan is not using his lust, he's using yours. Now look, this is what the Bible said. I'm sorry you hadn't read this before, but James identifies this as your own lust. Whether it's a lust for sexual things, or a lust for power, or a lust for favor, or a lust, whatever it is that Satan would use to pull us out of the providence of God, Satan will always use our own lust. Praise the Lord. What is lust? And it is the principal part of the corrupt human element that is not born again. It is the fountain or source by which temptations come against us anyhow. It is not exterior. Temptation is not out here. Temptation is here. But Satan uses things out here because the temptation availability is resident in your unconverted part. Look, friends, if you can't have a smartphone without constantly staying in trouble, get rid of the thing. If you can't have a computer without getting in trouble, get rid of the thing. Notice in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 16, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger, which flattereth with her words. Look at the word stranger, foreigner, alien, or a foreigner, unknown or unfamiliar. Now, whenever, most of the time in the New Testament, when you find this stranger among women, when it's identified, it is of the foreign tribes outside of Israel, or those which are of the Canaanites, or Egyptians, or whoever more, that was considered foreigners. You see, God wants his people marrying their own kind. Now, these women, of course, were not controlled by the commandments of God. They did not dress according to the strict codes that God gave the children of Israel. They did not live that way. They did not act that way. So they would look to be more enticement than it would be the daughters of Israel. Boy, y'all getting quieter and quieter. Now, God warned them. Notice how Solomon here, which is quite an amazing thing to me, that this very man who wrote many of these things that we're going to read this morning was the very man that fell into the very thing that he wrote about. But that does not stop the inspiration that the man had from God. He should have listened to his own preaching. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Chapter 5, verse 3. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a, oh my, two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. Now let me say this. This is not just so with a woman, but it is so with a man or a young man outside the confines of the revealed word. I said it a few weeks ago. I'm going to say it again. It's nothing but a trap of the devil to pull many of our young people outside the confines of the word, for you to get a girlfriend and for you to marry somebody out there that's going to pull you yourself away from the presence of God and raise your children in a divided home. Amen. You sisters, don't you date anybody. I don't care if they come to this church. I don't care if it's my nephew, my grandson, if I had one. I don't care who it is. If that man don't love God more than he loves anything, don't give him the time of day. You young men, don't you fool with some floozy. I don't care if she's a floozy here or a floozy there. Floozy shouldn't be on the diet of a son of God. It should be you look for a daughter of God that has the epitome of the character of Jesus Christ. Amen. They don't say what the words say, they're strangers. Preach, Brother Donnie, I'm with you. Boy, it's a good thing you're with me because some of these folks ain't with me. Notice now in verse 20, and why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with the strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? What makes a young man or a young woman want to do this? Their lust. Now, it's not just altogether necessarily sexual lust. It can be an excessive lust for friendship. Companionship. What makes preachers compromise sometimes? The desire for fellowship. So they got to give up this and give up that and give up that to be a friend with this man and be under this man. Well, praise the Lord. My, my. Thank you, Jesus, for your word today. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 3. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. May I say, this is not just so with a woman. It's so with a man, and it's also so with the denominational preachers. Will thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? Chapter 6, verse 23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep thee from the evil woman and from the flattery of the tongue of a denominational woman. Stranger. Girls around this message that don't believe in ministry ought to be a stranger to you young men. They go to a tape church. Who ever heard of such thing in the scripture? They don't believe in a pastor. They don't believe in God called men. They ought to be the same, basically the same thing as denominational. As a matter of fact, they'll be more harmful than some denominations. Well, glory. Now notice he says to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart. Neither let her take thee with her eyelids. Why? Well, most of the time hers is going to be painted up. Daughters of God ain't going to have that stuff on their face. Brother Donnie, old Barnes need a new coat of paint. I agree, but would you want me to call you Sister Barn? Praise the Lord. Oh my. Now what is it? It is the desire for companionship, for friendship. Is that desire normal? Perfectly normal. But when it goes from the confines of the word, it turns from the natural desire to excessive lust. Listen to this. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread. This is the power of a whorish woman. Whether a woman naturally or a church. Look at a piece of bread. It has no arms. It has no legs. It has no feet to run away. It has no will to fight against this force. A man getting under the influence of this is almost like he has no power to resist. Just like a piece of bread. So the whorish woman takes a piece of bread. She eats it if she wants. She trashes it if she wants. She throws it if she wants. She grinds it up in powder if she wants. She does what she wishes. Don't you understand, friends? Many of these people out here, this is why they belong to all these churches. They have come under the power of a whorish woman. And the great whore of them all is going to take it all. Praise the Lord. But if I'm going to be bread, I'm going to be bread not in the hand of the whore, but in the hand of the King. Glory to God. If I'm going to be bread, let me be bread on His table. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt. Notice what life she wants. The precious life. Brother Donnie, why is it that so many of these girls out here in the world, oh, they just think that we're us guys are just so great. And the Message girls don't have nothing to do with this, right? Here's your scripture, my brother. The adulterous woman will hunt for the precious life, not because she loves you. She wants to destroy you. The devil don't want to just destroy preachers. The devil wants to destroy every one of you here today. My, can I go on? Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can you embrace error and false doctrine and it not get you eventually? Look at what Jesus said about lust in Matthew chapter 5, verse 28. I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust. The English word means a little bit different, but it's very close to the Hebrew, which means covet those things which are forbidden. Amen. Boy, I don't know when I've heard Happy Valley so quiet. Whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Can a son of God filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, can he be bothered by the women of this day? If he's a human, he will. Unless he's a pervert. You honestly think Brother Branham wore the cross on his mirror for decoration? Kind of strange decoration for a Ford, don't you think? It wasn't there for decoration. It was there because he was a human. Oh, I know you Message folks don't like hearing him, but William Branham was a man. He was a man that was born again, but he was a man. A man that had weakness, a man that had failures, a man that had shortcomings, but a great man. Praise the Lord. Notice in Romans chapter 1 verse 26, for this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. You want to know why I don't marry two women and two men? Right here you go. God's word. God's word. Oh, you got hate. I ain't got hate. I got love. It's them preachers that'll marry you, the ones that hate you, they're going to damn you to hell. This ain't my opinion. This is not some theological experience. This is God's word. Do we believe it or not? Mama burned in their lust. Burned in their lust. God never made a man to want another man. What happens? Something changes. Something changes. Well, I was born this way. Nonsense. Feeding out a bunch of homosexual movies and homosexual atmosphere and homosexual music and homosexual Laodiceans. Come on, children. Men with men, working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. Well, glory. Galatians chapter 5 verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How many agree with me today that he's talking about saints that have the capacity to walk in the Spirit, so they must be born again? You'll agree with that. Well, how then can a saint filled with the Holy Ghost, why must they be written to and warned to abstain from the lust of the flesh? Because the flesh ain't converted yet. This I say then, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now here is the conflict. Here is the conflict. The part that is born again, the soul, and the body which has not yet been born again, and the human spirit which contains imagination, conscience, memory, reason, and affection. In the end time, of course, you will have three great components from God. That is your soul, which is the attribute. You will also have a theophany and a glorified body. But now you've got a redeemed soul living with comparison inside of a human spirit, and also inside this human body which is not yet redeemed. And it's such a great conflict and a great war. And the flesh, the sarx, S-A-R-X, it wars against the soul. And the soul wars against the flesh. Now listen to me. Paul, when he uses this word, he used it in Romans 7, Romans 8, many different places in the New Testament, flesh. He's not necessarily talking about the body. Actually, your body is more neutral than what you realize. Now watch, the Holy Ghost can move on our bodies. We can raise our hands, we can shout, we can worship God. The Holy Ghost from within us moves upon our body and says, I want to read the word, and your body will sit right down and take that word, and your flesh will open the Bible. Your flesh will take them flesh eyeballs and run right down through there. Your brain will begin to read and put the words together, make a sentence, and you'll sit there and comprehend with your intelligence. Why? Because your body is neutral. If the body was demon possessed, then you'd have no control whatsoever. But your body is very neutral. This is where we as Christians fail. By not assuming the use of the neutrality of our bodies. Thinking, well, I can't do anything with it. You can. You can make it obey. Well, I can't help myself. I can't help myself. I get on these websites. I can't help myself. I've got to have this. If you got the Holy Ghost, you can help yourself. Oh, Jesus. Y'all will be hoping I got some meeting scheduled out somewhere, won't you? This I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The Greek word for flesh, as I pronounce it to you there, is sarx, S-A-R-X. It means carnally minded. The sensuous nature of man. The animal nature, the flesh, denotes mere human nature. The earthly nature of man, apart from divine influence, are therefore prone to sin and opposed to God. So to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So here is a war going on with the converted part against the unconverted parts. And then we, as children of God, have the ability to control the unconverted part to where they do not fulfill the desires that come naturally to them. Praise God. The spirit and the flesh have different appetites. I love the way Paul writes this because he writes it as if though the spirit of God is you in your soul. Notice the way he says this. He does not say the spirit in your soul or your experience with God, but the spirit lusteth against the flesh and the flesh against the spirit, as if though your deposit is your own little portion of deity. It is. I said it is. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Walk. Not, not just have it, but walk. Live. Think. Move. Motivate. activate, exist in the Spirit. Now listen, friend, this is so powerful. Walk in the Spirit and you will not. Not possibly or perhaps you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. To me, this is a greater victory to the testimony of God than if God would have saved my body when I got saved. If God would have saved my body, my spirit, and my soul, there'd been no more battle. The devil could have done whatever he wanted to do. But God saved my soul and left me a new creation in the same old temple. And then teaches me day by day by day to overcome and to bring this body subject to the word. Hallelujah. And those who are filled with the Holy Ghost and bring their body subject to the word will lead their body subject to rapturing faith. Praise God. You're going to lead your body to a body change. But how can you expect to do it if you can't overcome this? The spirit and the flesh have different appetites, and this is what creates this great rivalry of your Jacob and your Esau. Esau's a carnal man. The birthright means nothing to him. Yet he's a saved man. He's a man that God called his name. He's a man that'll have an inheritance. But he'll never be a Jacob. You can bring your body. See, I can't do it. If you got the Holy Ghost, there ain't nothing. Absolutely nothing. That you cannot bring your body subject to. Notice Paul says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, which is live under his influence. Live under his directions, and ye shall not. Listen to this. This is not possibly or perhaps. Friends, this one verse is where much of our failure is daily. We don't walk on the Spirit enough. We're too carnal. We spend too much of our time on carnal things, thinking about carnal things, talking about carnal things, and then we wonder why we can't overcome the flesh. Look at where you're walking. If you're walking as a surrendered child of God, you have a promise of God that if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill. Notice he does not say that you won't have fleshly troubles and temptations and problems. He don't say you won't have them, but he said you won't fulfill them. Praise God. He don't say walk in the Holy Ghost and you'll never have no trouble. Walk in the Holy Ghost and you'll never have temptation. He says, oh no, you're going to have them and they're yours. But if you walk in the Holy Ghost, you will not fulfill them. There's some things I want to fulfill and there's a bunch more I don't want to fulfill. This is some things I don't want to fulfill. Notice this. He says, ye shall not fulfill. Now, let me just use this to most of you. I mean, nothing as it doesn't to me, but the Greek language is a very, very unique language. And whenever Paul writes this, he used what is called a strong double negative with an aorist active. Oh, really, Brother Donnie? Wow. Well, I'm glad the double aorist was active instead of, misplaced. And I'm glad. So in other words, that means nothing to you. But Paul chose this word on purpose. And he would choose a word that in this language would be so dynamic. There was not even one possibility that you could walk in the Spirit and fulfill the lust of the flesh. So he chooses this word that is so dynamic that if you walk in the Holy Ghost, it is a word that is absolutely impossible for you to fulfill the law or the lust of the flesh. So devil, how do you like that double negative aurorist? Notice how he goes on to define this in verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. And the Spirit against the flesh. How many can say, been there and done that? which are contrary the one to the other. They are opposite in nature. They can never harmonize and be one. There's only one hope for my body, to be changed. Children, we don't just need to go back to 20-year-old people. We need to be changed. This sarks, this carnality, this human element that causes us so much problem, it's not good enough to revert it back to a young boy. I'd do the same things. But I've got to be changed. This must be changed. And God has so orchestrated that the Enoch group in the last day will lead their bodies to a rapture by obeying the word. And instead of them overcoming at their new birth initially, he'll lead them to walk in this life 40, 50, 60 years after the Holy Ghost. And daily they'll fight this thing. Sometimes they'll lose. You know it as well as I do. Whenever you don't have the time to pray, or you don't take time to pray, or we don't take time to read the word, and everything is all out of sorts, and when our weakest points, that's when we make some of our biggest mistakes. We get nervous, we get all upset, we're frustrated, and make hasty decisions, and it takes us years to get out of them. Why? Satan knows that. We're not then walking in the Spirit. We're pressed. Why? I've got to make a decision. Oh, most of the time, that's the devil. That's the devil trying to put you in a wall. Well, you've got to make a decision by tomorrow to do such and such and so and so. Let me tell you, I've learned not to rush, my God. If the devil sets a deadline on me tomorrow, big deal, devil, I ain't worried about you. I want to hear from heaven. The Spirit of God in your soul lasteth and wars against the flesh, and the flesh lusts against the Spirit. These are contrary one to the other, two contrary principles from two different kingdoms in the same body. He goes on to say, so that you cannot do the things that you would. You converted saints are in a peculiar position. You know, the saints that have gone on to the sixth dimension, they are what we want to be. They can praise the Lord the first time in perfection. I've never preached a perfect sermon and never will. I've never been able to have a perfect worship because it's always infected and affected by my humanity. We've never had a perfect service. None of you have ever sang a perfect song. Nobody here has ever lived one perfect day in your entire life. Why? The things you would do, you cannot. Why? You're carrying this old carnal thing around you. But neither can you go back out there in the world either. You don't want to go out there in the world. You can't act like them. You can't talk like them. Yeah, you want to worship perfect, you want to live perfect, you want to be a perfect person. You can't do that, and yet you can't go out yonder. But don't worry, the day's coming when you will be able to really be you. I myself get jealous of these saints that's going on. You think their labor's over and all the things that they've longed for, my, they move beyond the curtain of time. What a great time it must be. Notice this, it implies the two wills that hinder us as they contrast each other. So the flesh cannot truly be satisfied because your Holy Ghost keeps him in check. And your Holy Ghost wants you to be more submissive, and your old flesh says, I don't feel like it. I don't want to. So the perfect, fault-free, sinless Christian you desire to be, it seems like it's nowhere within reach. And the unbridled sinner with no restraints to do this and that and the other, you can't do that either. Welcome to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Welcome to the land of the converted. Oh, glory! Y'all seeing your picture in that gallery? Some of you ain't, you're not sure, huh? Well, Brother Donnie, I see you. That ain't good enough. You got to see yourself. I see Brother Branham. That's well and good, but you got to find you. Can I go on a little? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims. I love that. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims. On the word that's rendered here for strangers, it means one without the rights of citizenship. In other words, you're an illegal immigrant. Except unlike our nation, you get all the freebies if you're that. You're an illegal immigrant in this world. They ask for a letter to say in passport, you ain't got one. They ask for denominational identity, you ain't got one. They want to know which Horace woman you belong to, and you don't pack a fellowship card. And they say, where in the world are you from? Where are you from? I'll tell you where we are from. We are from eternity. We have stepped down into this body of time, and we're going back. And while we are here, we are strangers and pilgrims. Notice these two words as are compounded together. I beseech you as strangers, one without citizenship, and pilgrims, one who travels from his own country to visit another place. Only the elect are pilgrims. They came from home and they're on a journey, but they're going back home. So they're here on their pilgrim. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. And while they are here, they are strangers, but they come from a home and they're going back to it. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Can anybody have enough bravery about them to say, amen? Amen. You agree with me? Peter is not talking to people that ain't saved. Brother Philly is not talking to folks that's not converted. He addressed them as people that come from heaven. Why would he warn them, Brother Wes? Why would he warn them? There must have been a need in that day, as well as our day, to understand such. I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain, apekomehi, to hold oneself off. Refrain. So he's speaking to you as if though you were not you. He's separating you from the fleshly lust. Now, if you couldn't help yourself, it'd have been absolutely vanity of God to inspire Peter to write such things. Which is pretty an amazing thing, because this guy was ignorant and unlearned, and one time couldn't even write his own name. You realize Brother Jewel Forney couldn't read until he got saved and got the Holy Ghost and started reading the message? That's pretty good grammar, isn't it? That's a pretty good place to learn how to read in the Word of God for the hour. You imagine when he started reading, he found his name in the revealed word of the hour. Amen. Notice then Peter says, dear beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims that you abstain. You, not God. You abstain. Hold yourself back. Friends, this ties to our overcoming self-discipline. Disciplining yourself and making your body obey the word. This is what made the Roman army almost just indissolvable. They taught them to fight as one man. They would move as one man. They thought, they operate as one man. You took one Roman soldier by himself, he was so vulnerable, he could hardly defeat anybody. But put him with his brothers. When you attacked him, you attacked them all. Oh, I would to God we as Happy Valley could understand that. If the devil can divide us in our little cliques, and you've got your little clique and three and four, and you've got your little clique and you've got your little clique, that is not an army of God. Sure, we'll have our favorite people. It's always been that way. But when we get into a war, we ought to come to one another's defense in the time of trouble. Notice he uses these words, which war against. This is not hand-to-hand fighting and combat that Peter uses, but it is a planned expedition with very much thought put into it. And a similarity to Delilah and Samson. In a hand-to-hand battle, he could have snapped her neck. She'd have come against him. He could have broken her arm, pulled her head off, so to speak. But these maneuvers that Delilah used against Samson, it was not hand-to-hand war. It was flattery of words. Oh, now if you love me, tell me where your secret lays. What's the difference in me going up there to that church where the pastor spits and screams and hollers and you coming down to my church? Now, our pastor's very sensible. And if you're going to be my boyfriend and I'm going to be your girlfriend, then you need to go to my church and I need to go to yours. That right there ought to send you a message to say I'm out of here. I ain't going to no Philistine church to get me no Delilah girlfriend. Come on, children, don't get quiet. You better listen to me. The Holy Ghost is speaking this morning. But it was a maneuver which was inspired by demons. And you, Peter, when he looks at this, he said, this is what you've got to do. It wars against your soul. But it can be so easy. It don't alarm you. Little by little by little. And the next thing you know, you find your head in the lap of Delilah. You imagine the angels of God as they come around him and they go to say, wake up, Samson. Wake up. Wake up, Samson. Wake up. His locks were still there. His covenant, his strength. But her lips were as smooth as butter. Oh, if you really love me, how can you say you love me? And then she began to pout on him as only a woman can. If it had been the other way around, then a man can pout in the way that a woman can't. All of y'all that didn't get powders, please stand to your feet. Ah, guilty by association, I suppose. What was it? A well-laid trap with gentle caresses and soft words. Now, Samson, you know I love you. You know I do. What did this must be of God? Me and you just keep getting back together again. Now, darling, if you love me, tell me what's your secret. What makes you different? Oh, sure, these people I hear come and hear us preach funerals, and they're astounded. I think, wow. But you know what most of them want to do? They want to say, man, that preacher, wow, that preacher. Uh-uh. It ain't that preacher. It's that message he feeds on. But most of them ain't going to say that. They say, man alive, I ain't never heard a preacher preach like that. Lord have mercy, I ain't never heard a preacher. Oh, my goodness, it ain't that preacher. It's where he's feeding at. It's the enlightenment that God gives him for the hour, and they're able to feed on it and say, my goodness, I've never heard anything like it. Where do you get your strength? From a prophet of God. Where do you get this insight? From a prophet of God. My brother Tim is just, and take the message out of brother Tim Putt's life and put him in a Pentecostal church and see what he'd be. I can tell you what I was. A running, jumping, screaming, hollering, tongue-talking Pentecostal. That had a lot of emotional workup but didn't have a whole lot to say. I ain't quit talking in tongues and I ain't quit spitting and hollering, but now I got a lot more to talk about. He's be the God. So what made the difference between me and a Pentecostal? The message. The message of the hour, my friends. This is where our secret lays once we get the Holy Ghost. Samson. Don't do it. Don't do it. Your people's depending on you. The church needs you. The kingdom of God is placed at your disposal. But no doubt he'd look up at her eyes. Big old long eyelashes. Black stuff here and black stuff there and pink stuff here and red stuff here and whatever more. And shit bat them eyes. And Samson's lust. And Samson's emotions. And Samson would hear the words of the Catholic Church. I mean, Delilah. We're all one. We've all got to come together to fight communism. The prophet of God told us in the 60s, communism was going to amount to nothing. You ever notice when Brother Branham would refer to that, he never called it the USSR? He always identified it by not only its prophetic name, but the name God identified it, Russia. Why? The USSR was going to be dissolved, but Russia is still as powerful as she ever was, if not more powerful. I don't know the bombs they've got. I ain't going to build no bomb shelter. Some of the message preachers are preaching, hold up your green beans and can up your carrots. Get your maters and your vegetables and hide it in a bomb shelter. I've already got a bomb shelter. It's covered with eagle feathers. My bomb shelter ain't a concrete somewhere and stored up food. My stored up food from the tapes of a prophet of God that's going to produce rapturing faith. Notice as Paul says in Galatians 5:18, but if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Do you understand every man in this building here today, including this one? My flesh can get caught up in carnality. Yours can lust. Don't sit there and look at me like a bunch of holy angels. Why don't I do it? The King sits on the throne of my heart. These are the works of the flesh. This is all the potential of everything every one of us can do in this. You think you ain't a walking miracle? This is the potential of what you could be every day if it was not for a new birth. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft. Look at the meaning of this word. Pharmakia. Sorcery. The use or the administering of drugs. Do Christians have to watch addiction? Yes. Is it our souls that would get addicted? No. Our bodies. Hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings. Christians? Christians can be subject to this. Don't you see? This is your enemy. This ain't Coors. This ain't Jim Beam whiskey. This ain't some of these other people. This is describing you. Not your soul. Whew. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I told you before, as I've told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Let me close with this. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh and the affections and lusts. Notice, he didn't do it. This crucifixion of your flesh is totally you. He killed your nature by new birth, but he left this crucifixion to yourself. Now, you're talking about a tough thing. I'm going to take the hammer and I'm going to place the nail right here in my wrist. And I'm going to hold that nail and I'm going to drive that nail in my jerking, screaming flesh while my new birth nails me to a tree. I'd have a hard time doing that to my enemy, much less the person I love better than anybody else in the world. Now, let's just be honest. I love me more than anybody. I love me. I feed me. I take care of me. I love me. Don't look at me like I'm weird. You do the same thing. And yet I've got to crucify me. When me wants to do something contrary to my soul, I must say no. And not 45 times. This is my last time. This is the way people raise their kids today. This is my last time. And they laugh at you when they say it because they know they've got at least 32 more. Because they know you don't mean it. And that's why they talk to flesh. You, I'm telling you what. Flesh is this. I love it when we go through this. Watch you. Flesh. Oh, you hurt my feelings. Oh, I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. I just want to bring you subject. Okay, I'm subject. All right. Well, good. That wasn't hard.
He's lying to you.
But I'll tell you what makes this tremble when you drag the hammer out. And you drag out that spike. He knows he's in for it. Stay. Let's read another place here in the scripture, if we will, before we sing. Romans chapter 6, verse 12. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body. And the word reign is basileo. I've shared this with you many times. But it means to be king, to exercise kingly power, to exercise the highest influence. Notice, this is the key. The highest influence. Now keep in your mind the neutrality of your body. So there's two kings who want to take over the neutrality of your body. Your human nature, which is corrupt and vile, you was born with that. It's already taken sides. The new birth and the soul has taken sides. But the body remains neutral. Like the war between the states. There was some states, it was definitely for the north, some was for the south. Depending on which state you was in, some is kind of neutral, supposedly. And that helped the north, and then that helped the south. Well, that's the way you are. Your soul is definitely on the side of the north. Not the Yankee side, but the North Star. Don't you Yanks think I'm joining up with you now. And your body's definitely on the side of the Confederate rebels. This part. That's that old sarx, the carnal mind, the unconverted nature part. And the flesh is totally neutral. So you say, I'm going to go pray. And what's the body do? Just follows you along. Well, it takes you along, I guess I should say. I want to read the Bible. Okay, no problem. So what does it do? It just surrenders its hands. I mean, the signal comes and the neurons transmit the signal into your brain. Your arms, it comes down and picks it up. You turn there to John 21. All right, John 21, okay. Cast out the net on the right side of the ship and ye shall find. Therefore, cast out now. And there was a great draught of fish. Now, what did I use? Several elements of the neutrality of my human being. I use the neutrality of my hands, my nerves, my neurons, transmit the signal to my brain, pick up the Bible. I use my eyesight. I use my intelligence that I learned as a boy to be able to read. And my body was totally neutral and been able to read that. Now, to make my body believe is a total different thing. Now, if I've got a need and I say, praise God, that's so good. My soul is rejoicing. And the man down in the engine room, that old flesh boy said, now, you don't believe that, do you? Really? Do you think that is true? And then what will it do? Because it is neutral. If you're not careful, the negative force will say out of your mouth. Now, you've done asked God for that how many times? Why? Because your body switched from the neutrality of giving you the ability to read the word, switched right over to the negative part of neutrality and submitted to those thoughts that you was anointed by the devil, and right out of your own mouth said you've tried it over and over again. Why? It's neutral. It changes sides many times during the day. I never did like a coward. I just can't stand dealing with somebody that you don't know whose side they're on. You know what? If somebody hates me, I'd rather they just tell me, say, how are you? That's the way your body is. Oh, it'll just get so religious. It'll let you read the Bible in it. It'll let you shout. It'll submit itself and let you dance around a little bit. Glory, hallelujah. And then it'll turn its back on you, anointed of the devil and your intelligence. And it'll say, you know you ain't bright. And it'll even say it out of this sometimes. You traitor. Now smack me, you gonna smack you? Your flesh is a traitor. But the more that I surrender, the more I can let go, the more I can bring the subject to the word. Or wrong desires and wrong passions and so on, there before us they are. And whose are they? Our own. With the king in here says, that's not becoming to a Christian. You're not doing that. This is my house. As long as I live in it, you're going to act like a Christian. Don't you love him, saints? This is overcome. I know it's not deep. I know it's not profound. I realize that. But you see, there's a lot of deep preachers that have never learned yet to overcome themselves. That's why they're kingdom builders. They're not interested in getting you to Christ. They're interested in getting you to them. They want you to rally around them and make them big and famous and important. That's not a man that's learned yet how to overcome. He's gratifying his own flesh, his own personal desires. Praise the Lord. How many wants to be an overcomer? Not alcohol, cigarettes now. You. Overcome you. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I pray, Father, you'd help each of us today. Lord, hundreds and hundreds of hands that was lifted up in this visible audience. And Lord, I know there's many more that streams these services and what's even here today. So I pray that you'd go out to them, Lord. They're not here, but I pray we wouldn't forget them. I'm sorry if we do from time to time. Lord Jesus, I pray that you'd reach to your people. Each of us need you so much. Thank you, Father, for coming to this earth to be the first one to share this experience of duality in a human being. You were the first one of the new race Adam never felt this. He never felt the divinity and the humanity struggling in the sense that we do today. But when you came to the earth, you were the first one to blend together those two dimensions of the divine and the human. And you allowed yourself to be tempted. Unlike us, you were not born with this in your human nature. So you were not tempted because you had lusts, your own lust. You never had any. But you allowed yourself to feel as if though you did. You allowed yourself to be tempted by women, by drinking, popularity, all these sort of things, so that you could overcome. Lord Jesus, I pray you'd help us today. For those of us who've received the Holy Ghost, it can be perplexing at times. Lord, no matter how much I study, how much I try to apply myself, and I try to be so accurate in what I read and what I say, and yet I've never preached a perfect sermon. It can be so discouraging. I've never had one perfect day in my life as a human. I've lived 60 years now. I've never had one perfect day. And yet, Lord, I have no desire to go to the world. I don't want to go out there. I would sure be a misfit out there. But because of my humanity, it keeps me from being that perfect person that my soul longs to express. But Lord Jesus, I'm so glad that you've made a way that we can bring this flesh subject to this word. It may buck against it sometimes and it may not like it, but I'm doing my body a great favor. My soul is going to lead my body to a change. It's reversed, really, in reality, Lord. When you begin to deal with us from the soul, that little seed lay there dormant. Something began to call us. The prophet said, you spoke, and our nature began to seek you. And when we did, many of us, our bodies took us up to an altar somewhere. Or we knelt down in a barn. And our bodies began to yield our first step to salvation. Praise God. But it will be our soul that will lead our bodies to the last step of redemption. Those who've gone on and entered into the sixth dimension, what happens? If you have died and entered into the theophany, what happens? You bring the theophany to the earth to meet the redeemed body. And if you are here, you take the body to meet the theophany. So the whole focus is the you, and the you is the soul. Lord, when Sister Sharon passed just a few days ago, that attribute, that soul, that redeemed part went out to go into the theophany. She's been there now, as we would say it, by days and met no telling how many thousands. Her daughter and many loved ones and friends, and no doubt she's already met the prophet of God. Yet in that place of perfection, they still are longing for something that is a redeemed body. The prophet related to us in the adoption series that they're up there in heaven and they think, oh, if I could just have some of that water down on the earth. I can't eat no grapes, but one day I'll go back to the earth. And he said, do we stay like this? He said, no, we go back to the earth. And take up bodies. I never thought about it then. But that's exactly with the scripture. We go back to the earth and take up bodies. Praise the Lord. Lord Jesus, thank you for that life that lives within us. We're going to defeat this flesh if it's the very last thing that we do. Praise God. And then the Holy Ghost within us one day. Maybe standing in front of the mirror, brushing her teeth. Maybe just getting up out of the bed. Maybe driving down the road, heading to work. And all of a sudden, we feel a strange feeling come over us. And in a moment, we look into the rearview mirror, and we're changed back to a 20-year-old man. Praise God. Praise God. And it's because the power of that invisible God that lived in us brought our flesh subject to the Word. And the flesh wanted to get angry and defend itself. The flesh wanted to do this and that and the other. And the Holy Ghost said, no, what would Jesus do in this situation? And it brought that body subject. Lord, may they realize they're not doing this as a waste of time. They are showing you, and by that power manifesting. Praise be to God. It's a prelude to the rapture every time we overcome this flesh. It's a prelude. Father, may you minister to your children today. Lord, there's some that's sick, diseases. Lord, we've got those that are battling cancer, those that are battling different things in their body. No doubt saints of God over all the earth that's dealing with various things. But may the presence of God minister to your people today, Lord. Can we just raise our hands, saints, in His presence? Whatever you need from Him today. Maybe you don't need healing. Maybe you need something, just a relief of pressure in your psychological makeup, in your mind. You're fighting such battles in your home, whatever it is. Let the Lord Jesus come by and visit you today, right now, while we're in His presence. Surrender. This is the key. It's so simple. It's so simple. The more that we can surrender, the more the power of God can flow in our lives. Will it always be there? It will. The battle will always be there. But the more you surrender and you walk in the Spirit, the less it pulls on you. The less it bothers you. And the more He's in control. And you refuse to let sin reign in your mortal body. Sing the song for us, Harry. Let's just worship Him now. Listen to the words of this song. Our sister which wrote this has already gone and entered into that theophany. But we can still be able to rejoice on the inspiration that the Lord gave her years ago. Let's sing it together.
The more that I surrender, oh, the lighter my load.
Hallelujah.
The more that I release myself.
Yes, Lord.
The more you
the
take,
more you take control. Hallelujah.
The more that I can humble myself, the more you lift me up.
Amen, Lord.
Every day I live, Lord, I love you.
Oh, let's sing it together now, saints. Let it be our prayer. Sing it now to Him.
The more that I surrender, the lighter my load. The more that I release myself,
ever,
the more you take control.
Again, hallelujah. Oh, sing it to Him, children. sing the song you were singing when you brought me out. Turn around and shake hands with somebody and tell them, by God's grace, I'm an overcomer. By God's grace, I'm an overcomer. Brother Dow, Brother Gene, brothers and sisters, I'm an overcomer. You don't make no mistakes? I never said that. I said, I'm an overcomer. When I make a mistake, I get up, brush myself off, repent, ask God to make me wiser the next time. Praise the Lord. I am an overcomer. I am a winner. The devil may act like he's a winner, but who believes a liar? Praise the Lord. But Brother Donnie, I don't feel like it. I understand. I've been sick since Friday. I didn't feel like coming to church last night. I didn't feel like preaching. I didn't feel like coming to church this morning. I didn't feel like preaching this morning. So you tell me, what should I have done? Should have went ahead and pressed beyond me? Now you wouldn't ask me to do something you don't do, would you? I told Brother Louie before we come out, I said, Brother Louie, please pray for my mom. She's sick. I don't know if I'm going to be able to preach or not. But I knew if I could get out of here and the dove would come down and the anointing would move, I knew I'd be all right. Praise God. Praise God. That don't just work for me. That'll work for you. Praise God. Don't you love him, saints? Oh, what a glorious weekend. Me and Carol went home last night after the service. She said, wow, what a beginning of a new year we've had. Praise the Lord. Don't you love him with all your hearts? Let's sing together just a bit and we'll let you go. Service Wednesday night. My, my, we got some good things to look forward to Wednesday night. I'll tell you what, I've been studying so much in the last little bit and the anointing just bringing things to you. I think, Lord, I think I'm going to start having two or three extra services during the week just to cover all this stuff you're giving me. You just think, praise be to God. Oh, my. I know. You think I'm weird. I admit to it. I love going to church. But Brother Donnie, my goodness, I come to church one time a week and I get plenty. Really? You wouldn't want to be me. Honestly, friends, which do you think would be easiest? For me to study hundreds and thousands of scriptures and quotes and maybe study 2 weeks on one Saturday night sermon for you, or tell the brothers to push play? Well, some of you don't know what to say. I can tell you which would be easiest, but I can tell you which one wouldn't be the will of God. Now, if I feel led to have the brothers push play, I'll do it. But I'll do it when I feel led. Not because somebody else tells me I need to. We have no overseer here. We have no bishops, no pope. So if the Lord gives it to me, the best thing I know to do is come and preach it. Brother Brown did say what the tapes say, not play what the tapes play. I'm doing my best to do what he said. Say what the tapes say. Well, hallelujah. Well, I done made some of you mad. Well, that's good. That's good. Let's sing it together, Harry. Get me out of this mess. God bless you, saints. I love you with all my heart. You love one another. You love the Lord. Isn't he so gracious to us and kind to us? Let's sing it together as we prepare to go.
Light of the world.
Oh my.
You step down.
You step down
into darkness.
Open
my eyes.
Lord, you let us
me see. Yeah. Beauty that made
Amen.
This heart adore.
Adore you, Lord.
Hope of a life spent with you.
With you, Lord.
Here I am to worship.
Let's sing it together
here
now.
I am to
Let's just give him a little loving before
here
we go, can we?
I am to say that
oh, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We
you're
worship you, Lord God.
So highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Come. all for love's sake became poor. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. Oh, you're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. I'll never know how much it costs to see my sins upon that cross. I'll never know how much it costs to see my sins upon that cross. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. Oh, you're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. Oh, you're altogether lovely. You're altogether worthy. Altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship. Somehow, I've got to make it home somehow. Somehow, I've got to make it home somehow. Well, somehow. I've got to make it home somehow. Well, the devil's on my track. He's trying to turn me back. But I've got to make it home somehow. Somehow. Oh, I've got to make it home somehow. Well, the devil's on my track. Trying to turn me back, but I've got to make it home somehow. Somehow. Oh, I've got to make it back home somehow. The devil's on my track. He's trying to turn me back, but I'm gonna make it home somehow.
Somehow, I'm a pilgrim and a
Oh, don't you love him, saints? Don't you love him and appreciate him? Oh, praise God. Let's sing it again as we're going to let you go. Somehow. Oh, somehow.
Somehow.
Oh, I'm going to make it home. Somehow.
The devil's on my track. He's trying to turn me back. But I'm going to make it home. Somehow. 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 I'm gonna make it home somehow. The devil's on my track. He's trying to turn me back. But I'm gonna make it home somehow. 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 I'm gonna make it home somehow. The devil's on my track. He's trying to turn me back, but I'm gonna make it home somehow. Somehow.